AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. And, of course, early voting going on today and tomorrow, the election on Tuesday. And I get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Tim Harris, this morning. Good morning, Tim. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, Charlie. Thank you for having me on. I want to encourage all your listeners to go protect their freedoms by exercising their right to vote. It is a primary, and believe me or not, with all the doors that we're knocking, there is a large percentage of the voting population that isn't in the loop that there's even a congressional race in being had. So it's like, okay, you didn't know, now you do know. Go to our website, think about it, but please, next Tuesday, go vote. It's what keeps people involved with their government. And so you can sit on the sidelines, wring your hands, and complain, like I said to myself, or you can do something about it. And certainly going to exercise your right to vote is doing something about it.
Next Tuesday. It is our most precious right to go out and express ourselves in what has been called a quiet revolution that happens every 4 years in our country, every 2 years in the state, the U.S. House of Representatives, an opportunity to, if we do it all together across the country, drastically change our government, or if we do it individually by congressional districts, tweak things just a little bit to see things the way the voting public wants it. We've been talking this congressional district election now for more than a year with the different candidates, because we were anticipating a possible election to fill Congressman Bridenstine's seat. But, Tim, you have a long time standing as a former DA in Tulsa County, so a lot of the voters in Tulsa County already know your name. Washington County, we started learning your name a few months ago, and you have spent a lot of time in the county.
Well, I have. The people of the 1st District in Washington County are very important to me. I mean, yes, my home is in Tulsa, and I'm known in Tulsa County more. I hope they were able to watch over the last 16, my career, at least on television. And so, you know, when I served as DA, Charlie, I had to actually solve problems, and I had to get things done. I couldn't just keep problems alive and use them as political issues. I had to finish things, and I think that's what distinguishes me from some of the other candidates. I mean, people are tired of politics as usual. That keeps everybody talking but never solving any problems. You know, I call it Potomac fever. We've had two candidates who I think have been overcome by Potomac fever and allowed their campaigns to be hijacked by Washington insiders. And now that that's happened, the 1st District has a front row seat as to how Washington gets nothing solved and the people's business gets ignored, because it just fuels the fire of one candidate going at another candidate. And I think this is why the people are so frustrated and sick of politics. We need a change of culture. We need people who want to go there and get something done in behalf of the people. That's been my whole career. I have a servant's heart. I want to serve people, but I also know how to fight. I've been in the game, and we need to fight for our constitutional rights. They're being attacked. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, those are given to us by a creator, not man-made laws. They're being assailed. Our right to free speech, our right to practice our religion in the marketplace without government officials interfering with that, those are certainly two rights that we know are being assailed constantly. And I want to go fight for the people of the 1st District. I'm all about solving problems. I'm not going there to be something. I'm going there to do something. I've had a great career, as I prayed to the Lord for the next step. You know, it's not like, oh, this would be a job of a lifetime. No, I'm going there so that America, when I pass it on, hopefully to my future grandkids and your listeners, kids and grandkids, that it's an America that we can recognize with the greatest opportunities on the face of the globe, and yet we have all these challenging issues that have to be solved, and you need to work in collaboration, creating trusted relationships, and getting something done on behalf of the people. It's amazing, with all the forums and all the door knocking and all the telephone calling that me and my team have done, I've been able to boil this whole campaign cycle down to one word, and that one word is trust. The people just don't trust their governmental officials who have been elected anymore. And it's like, hey, I've been transparent. You've seen me for the last 16 years. I've been elected in four different election cycles. The people know that I'm accountable to them. I know how to serve as a public servant. And that's my motivation to go to Washington to be a voice for the people of the 1st District and get some of these problems solved for them so that their life is better, because I think that's what the framers had in mind when they talked about citizen legislators going to Washington to work on behalf of the people, Charlie.
Well, it sounds like this is the case that you have been making to the voters since I started talking to you. And making a case, that's something that prosecutors do. You present a series of facts, an argument to a court, to a jury, that then makes a decision. It's the same thing you've been doing to the voters or for the voters, to give them an opportunity to get to know you. And just like yesterday, the House failed to pass a balanced budget amendment, and I know that's a tough standard to hit. It's not just a majority like we do on bills, but when we look at amending the Constitution, and I think many people have advocated for a balanced budget amendment for a long time. Reagan was doing it. Other voices have been part of the conversation. It's something that is worth talking about.
Well, it really is, because the balanced budget amendment, if I was there, I would have supported it and voted for it, because this deficit spending, we're spending like drunken sailors. And it goes back to very, very simple economics. If you don't have the money, you can't buy it. But the problem, Charlie, that I see is, number one, Congress has to step up and handle the difficult problems. Two of the problems that the federal government, by the Constitution, is supposed to be doing is national security. They called it common defense. They called it that in the preamble, and then they mentioned common defense again in Article 1, Section 8. Spells out exactly what the enumerated powers for the federal government is, knowing that the 10th Amendment says what's not given to the federal government is reserved to the people and the states, and that pendulum has swung so far to the federal government that now, instead of them serving us, it's like we're serving them. That has got to change. We have got to get things back to the local level, especially education in Oklahoma. If we're going to compete with the rest of the country and with the rest of the world, we have got to solve our educational problem. But, you know, Charlie, when you come down to it, you got to have somebody that you know knows how to fight. And there is a big difference between a public servant and a politician.
Yes, there is.
A public servant really is there to serve the people, and they're not looking to feather their own nest. And what I mean by that is, oh, I'm going to vote this way because it'll get me reelected, or I'm going to appease this special interest because I know they support a big PAC, and I'm going to get a real hefty campaign contribution from them. And with all that, I'll be able to keep my job. That is absolutely the wrong motivation to go to Washington. You know, when I was DA, I tried to lead by example with a servant's heart, but other than leading and showing by example, I learned to listen. Being a good listener is really a skill, and I learned it over the 28 years I was in the DA's office, 12 as an assistant, and then 16 as the elected. And, you know, my negotiation skills will dovetail with President Trump. He is a negotiator, and he knows how to get things done. He knows how to solve these problems, and I'm just looking forward to standing with him with my negotiation skills and supporting that in the House of Representatives. I'm experienced, and I'm mature, and I'm seasoned. I've been in the ring, and for a lifetime, I've been a decision maker in my career. I made life and death decisions, death penalty decisions, filing decisions, fought for people's justice and their public safety. For 650,000 people in Tulsa County, now I seek to serve the people of the 1st District, which is much larger than that, both diverse, both urban and rural. I'm not going to forget anybody because I'm not moving to Washington. I'm going to stay living here in the 1st District. That way I can be accountable and I can listen to the people that sent me there and then take that directive to Washington and work on the things that is most important their families, their freedom, their liberties, and what they want the American dream to look like for their kids and grandkids.
Well, I think the first time I met you, you handed me a pamphlet that had a copy of the Constitution in it, and it's something that obviously, if you carry it around in your pocket, you probably are pretty well familiar with it.
Well, you know, Charlie, a lot of people said, well, what did you do after you left the DA's office?
Well, you took a vacation, I'm sure.
to leave the DA's office, but immediately I got a call from Oral Roberts University, where I got my law degree from the O.W. Coburn School of Law. They had an adjunct professor that was teaching some pre-law classes that was leaving, and they were really scrambling to fill it. So I came in and put my thumb in the dike, and then really, really enjoyed being around the college students, being around the millennial generation, trying to get to know their thought process, what's important to them. And I ended up teaching constitutional law. What an eye-opener, and it was really the catalyst that got me going to run for this position, to go back into public service. We have the greatest governance document ever made. It's been copied by more countries than any other legal document. And so if we abide by the governance that is set down there between the powers of the legislature and the judicial and the executive, and they hold each other in check, it's that balance of power, it works. But we have come so far afield of that we have to bring that pendulum back, lay the Constitution over policy, and see, number one, is it constitutional? Two, not only what it does now, but what is it going to do long range? Because don't forget, in the preamble to the Constitution, the first thing we're supposed to do is establish justice. It goes down and names many other things, peace and tranquility, but it talks about the blessings for our posterity. So it's not only looking temporarily for serving us, but our posterity and what's going to be good for our kids. That's why we have to address our $21 trillion deficit. And, you know, this trade war that's going on with tariffs, I understand the president, I support him, but, you know, we really need to work on these tariffs with our allies in Europe and in Canada and Mexico and in South Korea, because if we work together, we will actually bring China under control, which is the main player that plays by no rules. They come here, they steal our intellectual property, they flood the market, called dumping on products that they can produce because they pay their people peanuts, and they can produce items cheaper than some other countries. We have to get it in a fair trade scenario, and I think that's what President Trump is saying, that, you know, for years and years after World War II, we entered into these trade agreements, and with NATO, and NAFTA and all these different agreements, and they weren't really fair to the United States of America. And all he's doing is coming back and saying, you know, you've had the benefit of the bargain since the end of the Second World War. We're not going to be treated like that anymore. We're going to have some equal footing. And it's, you know, sure, it's just like asking, you know, 2% of GDP from all these industrialized nations that they need to be paying in, because they get the security of our military prowess throughout the world, and yet they don't even pay their fair share. When
right.
I see the president doing things like that, I just got to cheer him on, because when he said make America great again, maybe people couldn't get their arms around it, and now you know exactly he's implementing what he said, and he gets a lot of criticism for it. But he's a president that is following up on what he said he was going to do with specifics, and I think it's working in behalf of the American people, and I think they're pleased with what's happening. Not everybody is a Trump URR supporter, and I understand why. There may be some things in his past, but, you know, that was in the past. Now is in the present. We hired him to be our chief executive as the president of the United States, not a role model for our kids. Hopefully, parents, moms, and dads are role model for their kids. The president is there to lead this nation and to turn things around. And by gosh, I'm going to support him, and I think he's doing a great job.
Tim, I am up against the clock. Last opportunity to ask people for their vote.
hey, next week on Tuesday, please go exercise your right to vote. I want you to consider me. VoteTimHarris.com is my website. You can see my stance on all the issues that are challenging the American people and the people of the 1st District. I have a servant's heart, but I know how to fight for our freedoms and our liberties. And so please go vote. I'm asking for your vote for Tim Harris for United States Congress in the 1st District. And not many candidates would say this. If you choose another candidate, I will respect that choice. There's a good chance that we could come into a runoff. And if we do that and your candidate doesn't make it to the runoff, I would be honored and humbled to be your second.
Tim, thank you very much. Candidate Tim Harris on a Community Connection on 1400 K1.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.